washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thanks, Chris and Orchestra. Let's stand, church, today. We want the Lord to cover the earth with His glory, with His message. That's what this missions conference is all about. Sing with us.
So amazing. Appreciative of you being here today. If you're one of our guests today, we want to welcome you here to our fellowship. If you're brand new here, we want you to please let us know that you're part of us. In front of the chair back in front of you, there is a special communication card. We'd like for you to take that card, communicate with us about who you are and a little bit about yourself, and then if you would, hand it in the offering plate, which will take place in about 5 minutes from now. So if you just begin to take that card and hand it out, I would really, really appreciate it today. I want us to stand together, if you would, please, and why don't you say good morning, and we're glad to see you today to several folks around you. Would you do it? Thank you so much, and if you would you be seated, please? Today is the beginning of our Acts 1-8 conference, and we're really excited about what God's going to do, and I want to encourage you to really be a part of that conference. In fact, the brochure that you received today, I would like for you to take that and read that, but preferably not during worship, and so don't do that to Vance any more than you do it to me. In fact, no, treat Vance better than you would me. You'd probably read it through me because you're used to me. So be sure that you look at it because it's some powerful stuff. There's a schedule in there. We have a big banquet we're doing up at our Pinnacle Hills campus. It's for both of our campuses. It's all driven till Tuesday night, and you need to get your tickets today as you leave. And folks, don't miss it. I'm telling you, don't miss what God's going to do this week. Tonight's going to be powerful at Pinnacle Hills. And boy, it's going. I want you to come. I want you to be there. If you hear Vance today, I promise you, you're going to want to come tonight. We'll start at 6. We'll be finished probably by around 7:20 or so. So I hope that you will be here. And listen, y'all know it's a sacrifice. Listen, the Cowboys are on tonight. It's a real sacrifice for me, okay? So, I mean, I'm going to give it up for Jesus, though, and for souls. And I want you to also. And so I want you to be sure and do that today. Another thing is that Wednesday night, Danny Aiken's here, so be sure and be here for that service on this Wednesday night. Now, all that you'll find in here. Now, today I've got a lot of things to run through, so you hold on for a moment, and I hope that you will be encouraged. With us today on our Acts 1-8 conference, we have missionaries from Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. In fact, we're hosting 57 missionaries representing 29 ministries globally. Some are serving at our Pinnacle Hills campus this morning. They're not here, obviously, and others at our Springdale campus. And so we hope today that you will join us in welcoming these. And today, if you are some of those missionaries, which some of them are here on the stage, but the way the rest of you please stand today, if you're part of our representation today, would y'all welcome each one of them today to our fellowship? Outstanding. Thank you so much. Next of all, Doug, why don't you come? You want to say a few things today, so why don't you take a moment to do that?
Pastor, I have exciting news for the church, for all of us. I am thrilled to bring some announcements. You know, we talk about how the economy is hurting and all these things, but I've got some exciting things to talk about in God's economy that's been going on in our church. I'm excited. Church, here's the report. These men represent all the way from China to North America to Northwest Arkansas, and I want to share with you what you've been doing through your tithes and offerings to the ministry budget. Today, we have a presentation, Pastor, to you and to the church from the organization Faith Comes by Hearing. As a recognition of our sponsoring the translation of an oral Bible in a language that has never been translated, a people group that have never heard the Word of God, that's what their offerings have been given for. Today, this is for us. In addition, Pastor, Eric is representing the International Mission Board, is here to present us with a plaque for being in the top 100 churches for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, where we gave over $100,000. And in addition to that, you church, in just a short period of time, you gave an additional $176,000 to Christmas and offering for international missions. $281,000 for international missions to deploy our missionaries. And then Tim Yarbrough and our Arkansas Bob Fielding, Arkansas Baptist State Convention, we have given, Pastor, additionally, we have given this church $350,000 to the cooperative program that funds 10,600 missionaries around the world. And we've partnered with our Feed the Children people to feed hungry people in Northwest Arkansas, in Honduras, and in Malawi. And then Ben Mays has a presentation from Shiloh Christian School. Shiloh was the champion of the 4A state football championship last year. A gift was given on behalf of those champions in the amount of $10,000 to present it to our China partners to purchase Bibles for new Christians. Now, church, this is the evidence of your giving. And if you can't support this, if you can't support this church, I don't know what you can support. But I want to say thank you for everything you do to give and to support missions all around the world. And when you pray today, when you get ready to give your offering, understand that this is the kind of ministry that you give to. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, buddy. Wow. Thank you, Doug, and thank each one of you men. And also some great news that's just come in, released this week due to an International Mission Board meeting. Due to Southern Baptist responding creatively and spontaneously, the International Mission Board changed plans, and because they know money is now coming in above and beyond where they ever thought it would, due to our Christmas in August offering, we are now beginning to mobilize missionaries across the world again. The response has been that great. So thank you so much for doing that. Well, today it is a real honor to have Vance Pittman here. He's going to be our preacher today, all day, all of our services. And, you know, Vance is a really gifted man. He's been at Hope Baptist Church in Las Vegas for 8 years. That church runs just under 2,000 people every week in Las Vegas just in 8 years. And he is in partnership with initially with the First Baptist Church of Woodstock. And Christy is with him today, his wife. They have two boys, two girls. They begin at 16. They go all the way down to 5, 16, 14, 12, and then 5. And so with that, we're really glad to have Vance and Christy. Would y'all stand? Would y'all welcome them today? What a joy to have you here, Vance. Praise the Lord for you. Now, Vance is a preaching machine, so y'all need to help him today, all right? I mean, y'all help him out. And because he is a great, great preacher of the Word of God. And I'm really honored to have him in this pulpit today. And tell you what, those of you from now on, when you go to Las Vegas for vacation or recreation, the right kind of recreation. And if you don't go out there for the right kind of recreation, then you need to go to this church and get right with God before you come home. But anyway, you now fly direct on Allegiant Airlines, and I expect a little pub back from Allegiant Airlines, by the way. It's straight into Las Vegas. You have a church you can go to. Hope Baptist Church, turning that city upside down for Jesus Christ. What a joy. What an incredible, incredible joy. Also enclosed in this brochure today is a special word about a special offering we're beginning to take next week. And this offering is above and beyond our budget offerings. Everybody got that? Not instead of it, but above and beyond it. And we start that next week. It's called Reaching Our Mission. In fact, there's a part of your envelope that is already there called Reaching Our Mission. And what happened is when you give to Reaching Our Mission, again, above your present tithes and offerings to our ministry budget, then it will go to fund $515,000, I believe is what it is, plus things that we're going to do. And you can see that in here, and that budget is specifically in here. I want to encourage you to start that next week. In fact, Doug has set a goal for us. Pastor, why don't we try to give the first $100,000 of that $515,000 next week? And so you've heard the challenge. And so this week you pray about it and you begin to engage in it above and beyond beginning next Sunday. And we believe God's going to use it in a great, great way. Also, as you leave today, you will be able to get a copy of our budget for the coming year. And I hope that you will take that and you will realize where we are and that you will come alongside of us to make a difference for Jesus Christ in this turbulent economy. But let me just want to say one thing about the economy. God doesn't work like American economy and world economy, and we need to remember that. And I'm committed to doing it God's way. And I hope you're committed to doing it God's way. And together today, we're going to stand together and we're going to pray. And as soon as we pray, we're going to receive the offering. You're going to hear a special piece done by our choir and worship with them as they do it. And then Vance is going to come and preach the word of God. Now, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus today that you will take the gifts that are given and use them for the glory of the Lord Jesus as the gospel is extended to the nations of the world. And we pray that you will do above and beyond what we're asking you to do. We're asking you not only next year for $14,300,000 plus dollars to our ministry budget, but we're asking you an additional for $515,000, Father. And we pray in Jesus' name that you will lead your people to come alongside of that. That's a lot of money when we just think about it, but we're not supposed to think about it. We're just supposed to act. We're supposed to respond to God, and because no one's going to give all that at one time. It comes bound to where we individually are with God. And I pray that every one of us will determine we're going to live God's way and we're going to honor you with the first tenth. And then, Lord, we're going to live by Philippians 4, even going above that. And then we're going to give to the furtherance of the gospel around the world. And I pray that you'll bless your people when you do that. And that you will meet our needs, just like that scripture says, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, as our choir leads us in worship, I pray that worship will occur. And I pray today also, Lord, as we come to these moments of the message, would you please anoint this dear brother, this man of God? Would you touch his life? And may he literally explode in this pulpit with the truth of the Word of God. And may our people, may all of us respond to the message of the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I am going to ask you to participate with us by putting your hands together in a minute. Something kind of like this, what I point to. Can you hear? There's a new song breaking out from the children of freedom. Every race and every nation, sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Yeah. Let us sing love to the nations, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make him known and make him famous. Sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Yeah.
Seated congregation, thank you.
Well, amen. I bring you greetings this morning from your brothers and sisters in Christ in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, maybe you didn't know you had any brothers and sisters in Christ in Las Vegas, Nevada, but you do. God is alive and at work in our city. And I would ask you, as I do every time I go somewhere, to pray for the city of Las Vegas. You see it a lot in the news. You see it on television. Whenever you see it, let me ask you to pray. It's a city in North America that is 95% unchurched. 95% unchurched. Don't go to church anywhere. Many of them are unevangelized. It's not that they're unreached, but unevangelized. Have never heard the gospel before. When we moved into our home in Las Vegas 8 years ago, almost 9 years ago now, when we moved there, our neighbor two doors down is an American lady, graduated from college in America, had no idea that Easter had anything to do with Jesus Christ. No concept of that at all. Where our church is, you could draw a box on a map, and inside of that box, there's about 175,000 people, and we're the only evangelical Christian church inside of that box. I didn't say we're the only Baptist church. I said we're the only evangelical Christian church in the box. I'm not talking about China or Russia or Africa. I'm talking about America. We live in a nation that is lost and in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you for allowing me to be here today, and thank you for the prayers for Las Vegas, Nevada. I weep for that city. Our heart is broken for that city, and we would just value your prayers for what God is doing there. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that as we look at God's word together this morning. But let me lead us in a word of prayer. God, thank you for the anthem of praise that we have just sung. And Lord, may it be true. God, may the church arise. Lord, may we stop being so focused on ourselves. And may we lift up our eyes and look on the fields, God, for they are white for harvest. Lord, would you speak now from your word? And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. There are over 100 references in 16 different books of the New Testament to one subject. 100 references, 16 different books of the New Testament, one subject. You know what it is? The kingdom of God. Now, I would submit to you this morning, if God says something one time in His Word, that's important, right? I mean, He doesn't have to repeat Himself. If the Word of God in a couple of books of the New Testament references a subject, we need to really pay attention. But 100 references in 2/3 of the books of the New Testament reference the subject, the kingdom of God. And I'm afraid today that for many of us, especially in our denomination, we don't even know what the kingdom of God is. One of those references is in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So it's not just that Jesus references the kingdom of God multiple times in the Gospels and that Paul writes about it dozens of times in his letters, but one of the references from Jesus Himself is an imperative, a command, where He's saying that the kingdom of God is to be the absolute number one priority in our lives. Well, it begs a question: what is the kingdom of God? We've been kind of working on a definition out in Las Vegas for the last 7 or 8 years. And it's one that's a working definition. But let me give you a definition of the kingdom of God this morning. The kingdom of God is God's sovereign activity in the world, resulting in people being in right relationship with Himself. It's God's sovereign activity in the world, resulting in people being in right relationship with Himself. Now, but before we launch into a text, I want to give you 3 practical realities that you can kind of hang that definition on, because I want to lay some foundation this morning that we're going to be talking about this morning, but then again tonight. And it really is born out of this definition that I believe is a scriptural, biblical perspective as to what the kingdom of God is. So here are the 3 practical realities. Number one, the kingdom is believers. The kingdom is believers. Listen to this verse out of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. It's at the end of time. The Bible says, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made them to be a," what does it say? Kingdom, right? Do you hear that? The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, through His death, burial, and resurrection, has purchased for God with His blood believers. We have been born again. Everywhere you see a born again Christian, you see a dimension of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is believers. Number two, the kingdom is big. I want everybody to say that out loud with me this morning. All right, you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. The kingdom is big. Now, I want you to say it this time like you really mean it. All right, I know it's early in the morning, but hey, for me, it's 7 o'clock in the morning right now. All right, we live on Pacific time, so it's real early to be preaching this morning. But let's say it together one more time. The kingdom is big. If you don't remember anything else that I say today, I pray that you remember that. If God would grip our hearts with the bigness of the kingdom of God. Listen, our vision and our perspective is so limited. We see things so small. We look in the context of our own church or our own city. But did you hear what Revelation said? God is at work bringing a people unto Himself from every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. That means one day around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are going to be born again, blood bought children of God from every people group on the face of the earth. Can you imagine what that worship celebration is going to be like? Wouldn't you love to be in the choir at that service, huh? Every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, the kingdom is big. It's big. Number three, the kingdom is being built. It's being built. Listen to what the gospel says in Matthew 24. "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." The end of what? The end of the world as we know it. You do recognize this morning that this thing called Christianity is moving somewhere, right? It's not going to always be like it is right now. You see, sometimes I think we try to invest in our churches and in ourselves like this is forever. But this is not forever. This is temporary, right? This thing called Christianity is moving somewhere. Right now, the gospel is being proclaimed. The kingdom is being expanded among every tribe, tongue, people, and nation on the face of the earth. But one day, one glorious day, the King. The Bible says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And then the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord, right? This thing's moving somewhere. One day the last soul is going to be born again into the kingdom of God, and it's going to set into motion a series of events like Hollywood can't even begin to produce. But right now the kingdom is being built. The kingdom is believers. It's big. It's global. It's way bigger than Las Vegas. It's way bigger than Arkansas. It's being built. Well, if that's true, how do we get in on it? How do we involve ourselves in the expansion of God's kingdom to the ends of the earth? Henry Blackaby's had a huge influence in my life, and if you've had experience in God with Henry Blackaby, you know this principle. If you haven't taken that Bible study course, I encourage you to do it. It's transformational. But Henry Blackaby teaches us that we look for God's activity in the world. When we find God's activity, it's an invitation for us to get in on it, right? God is alive and at work all over the world. And the invitation is for you and me to get in on it. Well, how do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. We've been in a year-long study at our church in Las Vegas through the book of Philippians. We're in the fourth chapter right now, bringing it to a close. Next weekend, we will wrap up the book of Philippians. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, beginning there and reading for a few verses, Paul describes a church. Sometimes I think we're so used to carrying this book around in its leather cover that we forget that what we're carrying around in the New Testament is a series of letters. It's just mail that Paul wrote. It's mail that's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. But it's a letter that Paul wrote specifically to a group of people. This group of people was the church at Philippi. This city was an unreached city that Paul had gone to and preached the gospel. 10 years prior to the writing of this letter, Paul had been there and he'd preached the gospel and Lydia got saved. And then the demon-possessed girl and the Philippian jailer, and a brand new church was born. And it's a church that got it. They understood from the very beginning that it was not about them. It was about something so much bigger than them. So Paul writes to them, and listen to what he says. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. I've received everything in full and have an abundance. I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then the verse we all love to get to, right? Verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, with that explanation of what the kingdom of God is, I want to give you out of this text three truths about God's kingdom activity that I hope will inspire you today from God's word to go get in it. Here's truth number one. God's kingdom is alive with activity. God's kingdom is alive with activity. In verse 15, Paul says something that, although it may not mean much to you and me, when he wrote it to the Philippians, man, it stirred emotions in their heart. That little word, the first preaching of the gospel in Macedonia, it literally in the Greek text means the beginning of the gospel. Paul is reminding them about those early days, man, when the gospel had never penetrated Philippi. And he's taking their minds back to the beginning of what it looked like when they started meeting as a small group in Lydia's house. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Paul to be your small group leader? That'd have been a pretty heavy small group, huh? That's what happened. He preached the gospel and this group began to meet in Lydia's house and Paul began to pour into them and but Paul says to them, hey, that was the beginning of the gospel. That's important. You see, too many times we think the church is the end. We think this is the goal. This is the objective. This is the mission. Paul says, hey, a church was born in Philippi. Great starting line. It's not the finish line. The church is the launching pad. The church is only the beginning. Listen, when God first called us to Las Vegas, Nevada to join in his activity of launching a new church, you couldn't have picked three guys that knew less than we did than the team that we went out there to start. I mean, we look like the Beverly Hillbillies rolling up into Las Vegas. Three guys from the southeastern United States. We didn't know anybody west of the Mississippi River. We roll into Las Vegas, Nevada, and our jaws are wide open, man, just because of all the lights. But here's what we knew. When God called us to Las Vegas to be about starting a new church, God had the nations on his heart. It was never just so that Hope Baptist Church could have a place we could gather on the weekends to worship. It was never just so that we could have student ministries and children's ministries to pour into the lives of the next generation, although those are wonderful things. When God birthed our church, he had Egypt and Laos and Thailand and Zambia and Zimbabwe and Honduras and Nicaragua and Argentina and Cuba. Those places right now that we are involved and invested in working into to the expansion of God's kingdom. When God birthed our church, he had the nations on his heart. Listen, when God birthed your church, I don't know how old your church is, but when God birthed your church, there was a Chinese person that was going to get a Bible because of a check given by a school that was on the heart of God. God's activity in the world is big. When God birthed the church at Philippi, God was inviting them to get in on something so much bigger. Do you realize that today we are living in the greatest days in the history of Christianity to be alive? Do you know that there are more people coming to faith today in Jesus Christ on a daily basis globally than at any other single time in human history? You did not hear what I just said. There are more, listen carefully. There are more people coming to faith in Jesus Christ today on a global basis than at any other single time in human history. Let me give you some examples. You know what's happening in China right now? You saw this check given over here to China. You know what's happening in China right now today? In China, I just talked with someone that's connected to a strategy coordinator in China. In China right now, 45,000 people per day are coming to faith in Jesus Christ every single day. Can you imagine that? What if 45,000 people came to Christ this morning? We'd get pretty excited about that, wouldn't we? We'd all have t-shirts printed up next week. I was there. I saw it. It's happening every day in China right now. 45,000 people per day are coming to faith in Jesus Christ in China. It's exploding. The gospel is exploding there. We work in Southeast Asia in a particular place where we're partnered with a national there who 7 years ago began a church planting process in this country where there were no known Christians. None at all. None. Zero. No Christians. And in 7 years, they've seen 1,000 house churches planted and over 15,000 people trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in a corner of the world that was completely dark 7 years ago. We're working in Southern Africa with a partner there. Last year, our partner in Southern Africa, we had the opportunity to train over 3,500 pastors and saw 70,000 people trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for the very first time. As a denomination last year, the Southern Baptist Convention, we saw over 600,000 people profess faith in Jesus Christ through our missionaries and over 20,000 new churches planted. What's my point? My point is that God's kingdom is alive with activity, and you and I are not just members of a church. We are citizens of a kingdom, and it's alive. It's alive. It's big. It's so much bigger than what we can get our minds around. But here's the second truth. God's kingdom is full of opportunity. Look what verse 15 says. No church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving. But you know, the word shared, there's an interesting Greek word. You know what Greek word it is? It's the word koinonia. You know what we normally translate koinonia as? Fellowship, right? We even have Sunday school classes. That's the koinonia class, right? The fellowship class. The word koinonia, fellowship, literally means to share or partner in the life of another. The church at Philippi saw in Paul the activity of God. When they saw in Paul the activity of God expanding the kingdom, they saw God's invitation to get in on it. And so by joining in the life of the Apostle Paul, they shared, they partnered, they got involved personally in Paul's life to the expansion of God's kingdom. Well, how does that translate to 2009? How do we get involved personally? Well, there's a lot of ways, but I want to give you three that are right out of the church at Philippi. Number one is we can faithfully pray. You say, oh, here we go again. It's a missions conference. Somebody talking about praying for the missionaries. Does prayer really make a difference? Well, let me tell you a quick story. When God first called us to Las Vegas, again, we didn't know anybody. We show up in this big city that was growing by 10,000 people a month. And my second week on the field, I got a telephone call. Picked up the phone, and it was a Filipino lady named Letty Peralta. And Letty said, Pastor, can I tell you a story? And I said, well, Letty, I don't know anybody in Las Vegas. You can tell me any story you want to tell me. Now, I've since learned in Las Vegas, you better be careful telling people they can tell you any story. Because in Vegas, man, there's some stories. But here was what Letty said. Letty said, Pastor, I'm from the Philippines. I grew up there, moved to Hong Kong to make money for my family to send back to the Philippines. She said, while living in Hong Kong, I met an American family. I moved in with them, became the caretaker of their home. That family worked for a major computer corporation, software corporation here in the United States. She said that family then relocated from Hong Kong all the way to a place called Woodstock, Georgia. She said, I moved with that family to Woodstock, Georgia. She said, while living in Woodstock, Georgia, we visited a church called the First Baptist Church of Woodstock, Georgia, and I heard an Indian preacher by the name of Johnny Hunt. She said, we only visited there a few times, but there I met Jesus and God changed my life. But she said, then my family relocated to Las Vegas, Nevada. She said, we've been in Las Vegas for a year and a half. And she said, I've prayed every day for a year and a half that the First Baptist Church of Woodstock, Georgia would start a church in Las Vegas, Nevada. She said, Pastor, could you please tell me what church sent you to Las Vegas? And I said, well, Letty, it's the First Baptist Church of Woodstock, Georgia. Next week, our church will be 8 years old. We started with 18 adults in our home. We're seeing close to 2,000 people a weekend. We've started 9 churches in the city of Las Vegas. We're working on four continents around the world where we're literally seeing hundreds of thousands of people come to Christ on a global basis. We are working in one Islamic context through the front door of their government. We have an invitation to be involved at the highest level of clearance. And people call and they say, man, 8 years, where'd that come from? And I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm just being as honest as I can be. One lady from the Philippines asked God to do it. And for 8 years, we have ridden a wave of the favor of God. You can pray. Secondly, you can personally go. You can personally go. Look at verse 18. Paul says, I've received everything from Epaphroditus. Who's Epaphroditus? Who's that guy? Well, let me tell you who he was, because you're going to get to heaven and bump into him. You're going to be embarrassed when you don't know his story. So let me tell you. Epaphroditus was just a regular dude that lived in Philippi. I don't know what he did, carpenter, doctor, but he lived in Philippi. And when Paul planted the church there, people began to invite their friends. Somebody invited Epaphroditus, and he came, gave his life to Jesus Christ, started meeting in that group in Lydia's home. And then sometime later, the church at Philippi said, hey, we want to send a gift to Paul, but we need somebody to take it. Anybody willing to go? Epaphroditus said, I'll go. I'm no missionary. I'm no pastor. I haven't been to seminary. But I can go. How do you know that? Well, look at chapter 2, verse 25 quickly. Listen to what it says. Paul is now at this point sending this letter back with Epaphroditus. Wouldn't you have loved that job? Here, this is an inspired letter that's been written for all the centuries of the saints. Would you carry this back to Philippi? Here's Epaphroditus, verse 25. Paul says, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger. The word messenger means one commissioned and sent out on a mission. Paul says, man, I'm sending him back. He's been with me serving, but he's your messenger. He's one called right out of the church. Let me tell you who Epaphroditus is. He's the first recorded short-term missionary in history. I don't know if he went for a week, a month, 6 weeks, or 6 months. But Epaphroditus said, I'll go. When we first got to Las Vegas, we'd been there a couple of years, and met a young guy that was in the doctoral program, becoming a medical doctor at UNLV, and he was in the top 1% in the country of med students, but he didn't come to Christ till he was 22 in college. He'd never heard the gospel before till he's 22. And when he embraced Christ, man, he fully embraced Christ. But, you know, he's one of those guys, he didn't fit the box of what Christianity looks like in America. I mean, he wore big old baggy pants, earrings around both ears, white hair that stuck straight up in the air. But God had just called this young man. So for a year, he spent just a year just with me. Everywhere I'd go, I'd take him with me. And I traveled to a city in the south that will remain nameless because I don't want to put any church on the spot. But we were in this city in the south, and there was a worship center there at a church that if I called the name, you'd know it. It seats several thousand people. And we walked in that building just showing him around. They called security on us because they thought he was coming to bomb the place. I said, no, we're here just looking around. And I take him in the worship center, and he walks up and he stands behind the pulpit. And in pure innocence, he looks at those thousands of seats. Let me tell you what he said. Vance, how can they all stay here? He said, I grew up 2,000 miles from here, and nobody'd ever told me. We took him to a conference at Glorieta. There were 3,000 college students. He couldn't believe it. He walked around asking everybody, are you saved? He didn't know there were 3,000 Christians in the world, much less at one conference. You know what every Christian ought to do? We ought to have a passport that's current. with a yes on the table that says, God, I'll go. You say, when and where? Doesn't matter. Yes doesn't have qualifying. Yes, Lord, doesn't have qualifying conditions. You know, it's just yes, Lord. Third thing we can do is we can generously give. That's really what this text is all about. Being able to generously give. As Paul writes in these verses, he writes about a church that gives consistently and sufficiently and abundantly and sacrificially. But you need to know something. This church at Philippi, if you read over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you'll learn what they were giving out of. They were giving out of poverty. We tend to look at ourselves. I get calls from missionaries. I got some this week. Pastor, you won't believe the number of churches right now that are cutting missions out of their budget in this economy. Let me tell you a quick road to financial disaster as a church. You start spending it all on yourself, and you can just go ahead and write Ichabod across your doors. Do you hear the promise here in verse 19? See, we all want verse 19, right? Especially in this economy. My God will supply all your needs. Yes, Lord, that's good. We love all those prepositional phrases. In glory, in Christ, his riches, all those. You know verse 19 is conditional, right? Verse 19 is only applicable to a church or a family living out verses 15 through 18. Verses 15 through 18 describe a church that is seeking first the kingdom of God. They were living generously. The word generosity in the New Testament, one of its nuances is the idea of being on your fingertips. It means that we're living with everything that we have like this. Not like this, but like this. Ready. The Greek word means a readiness to distribute, meaning that I'm just looking. God, you show me where, and it's all right here. That's the church at Philippi. If you study 2 Corinthians 8, man, this church was experiencing deep poverty and real affliction. They were being squeezed and pressed. And yet in the middle of that, the Bible says they had great joy. You know why? Because they saw it was bigger than them. Last truth, and I'm finished. The kingdom of God's exclusive in its glory. Paul closes this text with this statement. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know the biggest problem that we have is we're way too concerned that people know our names and our churches and our denomination. Man, it grieves my soul when I hear our denomination say, you know, there's no Baptist church there. That's really not the question. Is there a Bible-teaching, evangelical, Christian fellowship of believers there? That's what we ought to be concerned about. It's not the expansion of our denomination. It's the expansion of the kingdom of God, of which our denomination is a wonderful part. But it's a part. That's it. To the glory and honor of God. Let's pray.